Who else is there?
It's me. Lee's sister.
Okay, how about you?
Uh-huh.
Said, how are you?
Rita? Oh, good.
No, it's Linda.
Oh, how are ya?
I'm good, how about you?
Good. It's not started yet, has it?
No, uh-uh.
Oh. Do I call back later?
We can call in, start calling in at 10 minutes, too. I always try to get here early just so I can catch everybody as they're coming on.
Oh, okay. That's good, honey.
Yeah.
That's good. I've been mowing the yard, and so I wanted to make sure I got in here in time.
Oh, okay. We got snow out here.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it started snowing about an hour ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, about an hour ago.
Well, my goodness, it's always something, huh?
Oh, always.
Well, the thing of it is that here it is, it's May. I mean, April, and it's almost May. And
2 weeks and we'll be in May.
Yeah, you know.
Ridiculous.
They've got the every year the Kentucky Derby down here in May.
Right.
And so I don't know if they're going to have it or not with everything going on. You know,
right.
It is. And so. Okay.
All right. Now, who is that?
I'm still on here. Somebody else called?
Yeah, somebody just called in. I don't know who it was.
Oh, okay.
It's Becca.
Oh, it's Becca. All right. She's a troublemaker.
Is she?
Yeah, she's a little troublemaker. Yeah. She thinks she's smart. She just turned 21.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
So she,
So happy birthday, Becca.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. We have quite a few young people in this Bible study.
Do you? Well, that's fabulous. That's really good because they really need to know, you know, everything that they can get in to where they can serve God. And I'm so happy for that because, you know, is this being recorded with me talking to you?
I think it is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they record it. They do. Right. But they do that so that the other people can call in during the week and listen to the Bible study.
Okay, but they're not recording right now, right?
No,
because they're not on, are they? Okay, but once it starts, they record it, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
We will be recorded.
Yeah. So.
I can always back and. I can always go back and find out how silly I must have sounded or something, you know?
Oh, well, why you say that, honey?
Because we all get silly once in a while during this stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So are you feeling all right?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, how about you?
The weather's not getting to you.
The weather always gets to me, you know?
Well, it's supposed to rain down here. I have 3 acres that I have to mow.
Oh, okay.
And so I did have a young man working, but he didn't get it all And so that's really good. You've already got
some people
on there, don't you?
We had 20 acres when I lived out in Jackson, but we only maintained 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we left the rest of it to nature.
Okay. And so you decided to move into the city?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you live close by the church, Linda?
I live about a half an hour. I live right by Metro Airport. I'm about a half an hour from the church.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You know, it's busy out there, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you know. And
although with this quarantine, it's been kind of nice. A whole lot of traffic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you there, sis?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Ooh, me too.
All the way live. All the way from Kentucky.
I've been on here 10 minutes. Where you been, huh?
Oh, no, I was
You told me to
Hi,
make
Preston.
Sure I...
Hello.
Hi, Preston.
Hey, honey.
Hey, guys.
Oh, they're all calling in.
Hey.
Yeah, they're usually all called in by about 5 after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did Hermina call in yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Neither has our pastor yet.
Well,
our fearless leader.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me. He'll be calling.
Oh, I know.
That man. He works his heart out.
Is he working, Edna?
Who?
Bobby.
Oh, trust me, he works. He works in the church if he's not at his job. And from what I gather, he works. You can just about go.
No, I mean, I meant that. Was he working at his job during this time?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, he works at the school, doesn't he, or something? Or
yeah.
Have I got it wrong? No, Preston is, right?
Yeah, him and I work together.
Okay. That's nice, Preston. Edna, I call her Edna. She always worked with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with my mom some, too. And, you know, you really grow and learn from your parents so much. And it was wonderful. When we had them, right, sis?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Hi, Carol.
Oh, we have Anonymous.
That was Pastor Bobby.
Oh, he's the anonymous one, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my. He's a trip, isn't he?
How is everybody?
We're good. We're great. Praise God.
Good.
Ready to learn.
I'm down on it.
Okay.
I am.
This is close to the spot.
Keep trying.
Was that Jacob?
Yeah, that was Jacob.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Sister Linda.
Yes, dear.
I wish you could see me. I'm in the back room. My desk is the bed.
Uh-huh.
I have a chair. That's it. Are you uncomfortable?
Yeah, if my desk was the bed, I'd never get out of it.
Now, why is that, Linda? Why is that?
Because it'd be too comfortable.
I tell you.
One of these days, I'll find
you. When you work real hard, it feels real comfortable. But,
yes, right.
Sister's working. She's been working hard today, so I bet she's tired.
No,
I'm
in a good way.
Rejuvenated. I asked for prayer, and I'm actually rejuvenated.
Well, all right. I'm with you.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm going to make her a new mask for when she goes back to work.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, Linda. Make Kelly and I one.
Okay.
And I'll pay you for them. I'll be glad to pay you for them. You know it?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been making masks.
You have.
My sewing machine has been working, so I've been doing it by hand.
Uh-huh.
Not the best job in the world, but it works.
Well, that's all right. As long as it works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very blessed here. We've been blessed very much here in Kentucky. We've not had a lot of
Hi, Denise.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
How are you? Oh, good. Hello to everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Now, where's that Rhonda at?
She'll call it shortly. That's my Linda.
Yeah.
I know your laugh, Linda.
Everybody knows my laugh. Very distinctive.
Yes.
Well, it's good to laugh.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the best medicine.
Amen.
There's my reader.
Now, see, Hermina, I just got through bragging on you that you and I talk 10 minutes before the lesson every night, every week.
And I couldn't find the number this week. I didn't save it in my contacts, so I got to do better.
Hi, Miss Hermina. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi, Miss Hermina.
If everybody working, Wendy did my copying for me. Hermina's going to read for me. And I'm telling you, I don't know what I would do without my peeps.
Well, this is your show tonight, Lee.
I know.
Uh-huh.
I'm so enthused.
Was that Peggy?
Oh.
Yeah, it was me.
Hi, Sister
well,
Peggy.
Not,
good to hear
from
you.
Shy, let me tell you. She's not shy at all. You can handle it, can't you?
I just want to let you guys all know my niece that had the coronavirus, they are doing good, my niece and nephew-in-law.
Great.
So
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, and the girl from Romulus Church of God, hers is almost over, too.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It was Annette Maxfield. Yeah.
Okay, I guess everybody is 6:05, and I guess we can started now. I'm just following what you did, Linda, so okay. Okay, so I would like to ask Pastor Bobby to pray over the class tonight. Without him offering a place, a church, and a place to teach in spirit and in truth, we wouldn't be blessed enough to do this. I mean that from my heart. So I just want, I appreciate them. And okay, you can pray.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I was making sure my phone wasn't on mute. All right, let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord, for keeping us, watching over us, keeping us healthy, answering our prayers. Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to learn in your word. Lord, we thank you for a teacher that is prepared and willing, Lord, to teach tonight. Lord, open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we receive of you, God. Lord, and I just pray that your anointing comes upon us. We want to receive. Well, Father, we know that teachers are anointed, Lord, for they seek your word, and they pray, and they search the scriptures, Lord. Help us, Lord, Lord, to all be a part, Lord, and to join in, Lord. We just ask it in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So I usually teach in the King James Bible, and if you have other Bibles, then, of course, there may be a slight bit of difference or a little bit of confusion, but if there is any, just let me know, and I'll be happy to stop and we'll try to line it up with the word, with the way that it should be. First of all, I want to let you know I had to be teachable, and that means I had to throw out a lot of old theology from different ministers that we had come in contact with over the years. Because every time I asked a question, I didn't get the right answer. I was never satisfied. And so I couldn't understand why other people got healed and why they got all their deliverances and we never did. So I took it personal, and I decided that I would dig and search. And lucky for me, I found a good teacher that set me free. Spirit and in truth. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the one that does that. We know that. He leads and teaches and guides us into all truth. So, one of the things I would like to add, kind of not ask, but I'm going to talk a little bit. Faith was mentioned 191 times in the Old Testament, but it was called trust. By the way, I have a little note here that I've been told by Pastor Bobby to slow down. So I have to go slow. So I have to go slow because he's helped me a lot. Okay. So if it was mentioned 191 times in the Old Testament, which was trust, but in the New Testament, after Christ came, it was mentioned 336 times in the King James Version. And I think in the American Standard Version, it was mentioned 550 something times. So that speaks volumes to me. That tells me that faith is a very, very important ingredient to getting our prayers answered. Right? We all agree with that.
Yes.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So now I want to go into salvation here because I just want to correlate salvation with faith. Nowhere in the Bible does it say salvation is free. And if anyone can find it for me, I will be happy to use that expression. It does say that it is available upon condition. One of the conditions is you must believe. You have to ask.
You have to ask. You have to ask for it. Then you have to act it out. And how does one believe? How does one ask? And how does one act it out? Well, now we do have free will in which we can get salvation. But once we get it, we have to continue in it. By faith, we ask Christ to come into our lives. It's only available, again, at your request. You can't have something. God will not push anything on us. So it is available at your request, and then what you do with it. The second thing, we have to acknowledge that we are in a state of sin. You know, I don't like to use this, but, you know, alcoholics, before they can get better, they have to say, I'm an alcoholic. Okay, I was a sinner. I, Edna Lee Masterant, was a sinner. And when I came to salvation, I had to ask for it. And then I had to accept it because there was no place else for me to go. I was so deep into sin. It's pretty hard to believe because that was a very long time ago. So in other words, we choose to sin, then we must believe that we are sorry, and then we must accept, profess with our mouth to God and to others. Why must we profess to others that we got a new life, that we've got salvation? Because we're going to work on transforming our new life. They have to see the change in us. They have to see that we have a new mind, a new outlook.
If they don't see it, if they don't see it, then what have we done?
Right. Question. Yeah. They have to see. They have to see. We have to not go around, I'm a Christian. No, we don't have to do that, as you said, Sister Linda. By our actions and by the love that we execute, are they, and many times they want to draw off of our faith because they want to know, why are we so joyful? Why are we so happy? Oh, I got plenty to say tonight about that. Let me tell you about God's word. So, okay, now I'm going to ask this question. Do you believe when you work for 1 week, I'm talking about going to work now, and you know for a fact that at the end of that week, for those of us that are able to work, you will receive your reward or your paycheck. And for that matter, that you are entitled to receive that money because you invested a great deal of time into that work week. Or do you go to work and lollygag around and look for opportunities to waste time? Or I like to say, are you goofing off and not do your job? So this is called cheating, and eventually you will be exposed or found out, and you could lose your job or your car. Nobody wants to lose a car. Or worse, food. Nobody wants to lose food or family. And or, and this is a big or, you may get another chance to make up what you cheated from your employer. So that's a pretty simple analogy. Same principle with God's top 10 principles. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. When we serve God, there are surmountable rewards for serving. Why? Because I want everyone to hear this, please. Because you invested prior to meeting God. There's nowhere that it says that you can jump down and expect God to perform a miracle right then and there when you don't know anything about Him or you haven't invested in Him. He wants us to learn about Him. He wants us to know what He has to offer, what He can do for us, the healing and all of the blessings. There is always going to be some work involved as to receiving the promises of God. And nobody, Pastor Bobby, Sister Rita, Sister Linda, we are not going to do that work for you.
why, again, God designed it this way. He wants to know if we truly love him, or are we using false words? God can't accept false. He is looking for the real deal so he can bless us. God is not a man that should lie. Numbers 23:19. Neither is the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and hath he not said he shall not do it or make it good when we ask him? So it is profound that, and when we people want to know why God didn't answer them, why does God allow that to happen? His promises are not for the unbeliever or the slacking person. So I think we all understand that. Why would we expect any reward or any healings or any promises from God when we're cheating him and putting everything else before him? Again, his promises are not for the unbelievers. His promises are for the believers. Okay, now, Sister Linda, last week I got too excited, and I got in that I was going to do the questions and the answers, and we didn't finish up a couple of pages, page 16 and 17. I believe, and I pray that Sister Rita, I know we all don't have the same technology, but I'm hoping and praying that she got it out to everybody. God love her. You know, I've been meeting her a lot lately, and Sister Linda. And so anyway, but if you don't have them, we will go over them, and you will understand what's being said here. Okay, number 10. God is not responsible. Now, Sister Linda has already answered these, so I'm just going to follow suit with what she has on her papers. God is not responsible for anyone failing to get the benefits at the cross. What's the benefits? The benefits are healing, deliverance, salvation, the Holy Spirit, happiness, joy, peace, contentment. And I'm pretty tough about some things because I always measure if I see someone unhappy all the time. I just want to know, where is their joy? Where is their God? Where is their happiness? I question it. It doesn't mean I'm putting them down. I question that. But that doesn't mean I'm, you know, eventually they come in. So, what about suffering children? Isn't God responsible for suffering children? Isn't that why God always gets the blame for everything? Most of the suffering of children comes from disease, environmental factors, mental, physical abuse, and birth defects. A lot of evil and sin in the world is caused by Satan or the devil, and he just loves to hurt man and see him suffer. In fact, that is one of his main tactics. He tries to turn man away from God when man doesn't think he should get what he wants. He tries to give God the blame for his dirty deeds. The Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with thine heart. Lean not to thy understanding. God does not approve of sin and the consequences that come with it, nor is he responsible. And could someone please read Psalm 51:5? If I've got a reader there.
Whoever gets it, read it first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Psalms, what was it, Lee?
Psalm 51:5. I've been taught by Sister Linda that we're not supposed to. I've always called it Psalm, but it's Psalm 51:5. Okay.
Behold, I was chastened in iniquity, and then did my mother conceive me.
Conceive. Okay. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin, not David's sin, but in sin, the mama's sin, was I conceived. So we all get that. We all get that little babies aren't born sinners. We get that sins from sometimes carry over, but eventually there's good news. We get to be free of that when we say, yes, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I realize that I'm unhappy. I realize that I'm suffering. Okay. Underage of account, the children are not responsible. The age of, according here to Lynn, the age of accountability is the belief that God saves all those who die, never having the ability to make a decision for or against Christ. A child has passed that age when he or she is able to make a faith decision for or against. 13 is the most common age based upon the Jewish customs that a child becomes an adult at that age. But of course we know different from that because not about just like us. We're not all at the same level because we all learn at different levels. We all learn in different degrees. The main important thing is that we stay the course with our learning about the Father. Okay, so underage children are not responsible. They suffer greatly, greatly, but it's not God that wants that. It's not God that wants that. So God isn't either. It's not God's fault that man sinned and let sin into the world. God allows evil, but he did not create it. Because he is after man to choose. If God is good, then God can't be bad. Evil is here as a result of man's choice, for which God is not responsible. Evil is not a thing, but a wrong choice. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have not pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn away his way and live. Turn ye from evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 33:11. You are worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are. That means we get all of these pleasures, good pleasures. But when we choose wrong and we don't know how to address it, we don't know why, we need to go to Calvary. We need to go to South. And I'm going to say something here. Okay, this is the deal. I have a direct path to God. Pastor Bobby, Sister Rita, all of us that are in righteousness, okay? We have a direct path, okay? Sister Hermina, Sister Peggy, Brother Mike. We all attend worship. We learn. Everybody teaches on Sunday morning. I don't teach on Sunday morning. We're all teachers and leaders. And we all have a good work. We all, my sister, a wonderful praise report. I mean, with her neighbors that have been against her. We all have something good to say because we study. We are in the Word all the time. Why? Because I have peace, we have peace, we have joy. So, when you sin, I don't like to use that when. I like to say if we sin. Does everybody agree? If we sin, then we have to go back to Jesus, who died for us. He's the one that walked down here. He's the one that got to know how man is. And he is the very one that went back and reported it to the Father. Hey, God, I know what they're like. Because, see, God can't look upon sin. He's too holy. In fact, I'm going to show you some things where God says, get away from me.
You're a stench to my nostrils. We're gonna go into the questions now. We're gonna learn why God allows. We're gonna learn why man thinks that God should do what he thinks he should do, and why God doesn't do it. I was set free over this course. I want you all to know, and I believe now that Sister Linda has taught it, I believe that she's been set free. No longer, and I take very much offense when I hear people blame God, but I also know that they are naive in the word, but he's always going to get the blame for everything. He always does. So, but now I'm delivered, and I will understand why everybody else that used to get healed got healed and I didn't. See, faith changed. Faith changed my poor attitude, my stinking attitude, because I got in to the word. And now guess what, guys? I'm blessed in this world right now, not just in this world, but in the world to come, in the heavens to come. See, I get all my blessings. We get all of our blessings here and in the future, unlike man that thinks he gets all of his blessings here and doesn't believe in the heaven after. See, so it's a double whammy for us, a single whammy for them. Okay, now, on page 17, where Linda has got it. Okay, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11, with the rebellious action of one man's death, entered into creation. Therefore, the whole universe suffers from the effects of sin. Now, what is Sister Linda talking about here when she wrote this? Okay, we're going to grow old. We're going to have aches and pains. Why? Sister Rita's going to read on that. She's going to tell you in a few minutes. We're going to find out why we are to suffer some of the effects of sin. Even though we weren't in the garden with Adam and Eve, we're going to find out. We're going to get this over and done with once and for all. And we'll know what we are to expect, and then we'll know what we're not to expect. So why doesn't God stop sin, sickness, deformity, starvation? God is not some kind of a monster that enjoys making people suffer. Suffering can fall into three categories. Emotional, and we've all been there, guys. Physical, we've all been there. And mental, we've all been there. But there are a variety of excuses for suffering. Morally corrupt people, praise God, Linda, you laid it out good, excuses for suffering, morally corrupt people, disease, earthquakes, flood, famine, etc. God would have had to stop sin right from the beginning. He would have had to stop a serpent from tempting Eve and Eve from making Adam to eat the fruit. Instead, God decided to give man a free will. He did this that because he wanted us to love him unconditionally, not because of the things he does for us, but because he created us. He desires our love. That's all he desires, is for us to love him. That also means that man, in his super-duper intellect, can also make the decision of whether to accept or reject him. I mean, after all, we make decisions every day based upon certain criteria. So, you know, it's easy for me to make a decision to serve God. Okay, F, to stop the effects, must stop the cause. We would be robots. If man had been given free will, then all God would have would be robots running around doing everything he wanted and never knowing if the robots really, really loved him. That was good, Sister Linda, because robots can't love anything. They're pre-programmed. God wants a relationship with all of his children. God also knows a man's free will would cause problems through wrongdoing, but God also gave us the solution, and that would be Jesus. Wonderful.
So now, Preston, would you please speak about the church website so that we, you know, would understand, I guess, about how we can get all of these papers, sir.
About how we can get the Bible studies, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's what, some people have a hard time, and you have worked your heart out, even I did, but I finally got it. I think I've gotten it now. So for instance, Preston, Brother Preston, if my sister or Sister Ginger missed Bible study, or tonight, how do they go? It's being recorded onto the website. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so right now, like this phone call, like all of us, everyone is being recorded. And as soon as this is done, I upload it to the website. So if you go to www.unitedfamily.church, you bring up to our homepage, and there's options up top where it says give, worship, different
things. Is that the menu? Is that the menu?
Yeah.
Okay, so they got to tap on that menu. Okay.
Yep, and when you up there, you'll see right dead center should say worship. And when you hit worship, that's going to bring up everything on there from recorded songs to these recorded Bible studies. And I try to mark the Bible studies specific with the date, so it should say Bible study and the date. And
just like you
do
the just like you do the worships, or the Sunday morning worships and such, right?
Yep, that's all on the same page, but this is by itself, so it should be very visible. And what we're going to try to do now with this is anytime there's a paperwork, or like tonight I sent out the church text, everyone should have gotten that Word document sent out in the text. That will be accessible on the website too. So if you miss it, or you're like, oh, I want to download, I want to print it, you can go to the website and you can hit print from the website.
Okay. And of course,
as long as your name is not Sister Linda.
And of course, if anybody has any issues whatsoever, for those that don't listen, we can always you can text Preston or Sister Rita or me. I'm not really savvy. Everybody's doing my typing for me, and so I'm not savvy about anything like that. It's been very difficult. But guess what? If you have the desire, you do it. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Really quick, I'll do a little plug, because I know there's a few people on here that aren't part of our texting system. That's an automatic system that the church sends out texts. It gives you updates on everything that's going on, including today there was a link sent out for this Word document. If you want to be a part of that, the phone number that you text is 31996, and you have to text the keyword U.S. Church, all lowercase, the letters U.S. Church to the phone number 31996. And every time there's anything that we have to send out, it's automatically sent to everybody. You can't respond to it, but it's just a mass texting system, and it doesn't cost anything.
So for those people, Preston, that don't have, do they have time to write that down, or is that something that they can go to on the church website or not?
That information is not on there. It's on our Facebook, but I'll say it again in case anyone wants to write it down.
Okay, for those that don't have,
For those that don't have it, so it's just like you're texting a new phone number. So the phone number is 31996. And when you go to create a text message to this phone number, you type in USCHURCH, and you hit send, all in lowercase, all one word, and then you'll be signed up.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Okay. All right. So we've got that. So now we can go in to the first promise in the Bible, and Sister Hermina, do you have that ready? And Rita's going to teach us for a little bit here.
No, I don't have it ready. I don't have it.
Okay, does anyone have, the first promise in the Bible, and what does it promises?
Genesis 3:15. Do you have it, Rita, or did you want me to read that and then you will finish it up?
I have it, if you can hear me loud enough.
Okay. All right,
okay.
Go ahead.
Also, I wanted to say for those who don't have a printer at home or you don't know how to print, you don't have any paper, you don't have any ink, if you contact Pastor Bobby or me, we will print you a copy, put it in an envelope at the church outside where our angels are more than welcome to pick that up. That way you have it and you can write it. Okay. So is it Genesis 3:15?
Yes.
Okay, so this is where God was talking after Adam and Eve had sinned. And it says in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to Satan, who is, you know, disguised as a snake, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. I think all of us who've had children can say amen to that. And
okay.
Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then she starts speaking to Adam. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Is that as far as you want me to go?
Yeah, and so we all understand that that was the very first prophecy. I wanted to just kind of more or less put this in there. Nowhere does it say there that sickness is going to come up on Adam and Eve. Is that what you read, Rita? Did you read anywhere? Did it say sickness?
No, God is telling them. See, when they were in the garden, absolutely everything was provided for them. I have a great imagination. I would like to think that they wanted food, and there it was. They did not, according to the scripture, have to work for it until they had sinned. So what God is telling them, I'm still going to provide for you, but you're going to have to work for it. So, I mean, Eve, you're going to have, when you had your children, it's going to be painful. Adam, you're going to have to work. I'm going to provide for you, but you're going to have to work for it because there's, repercussions for the sin that you did. So when you're working the ground, you're going to work the ground. When you reach in to get those things that you're going to eat or whatever, there's going to be thorns and thistles. But you will eat. I'm still going to provide for you. But he does not speak of sickness coming upon them. I'm just telling them about working.
That's
and
right.
Working hard.
So he also was saying there, I will not let you go spiritually. I'm still going to provide a way. If you still want to pray for me, pray to me, you can. You'll teach your children about me, and then your children will teach their children about me. And, of course, we know that, Cain killed Abel, and we know that there was always going to be, everybody has a free will choice. But God designed, I believe, that right there he was already getting ready to make a way that Jesus would come, for us, come for us and deliver us free and get us free from that bondage, So we are going to suffer the part. That's why we have to grow old. That's why we have to grow old. But we can grow old by doing the things that God wants us to do. In other words, if you're serving God, okay, I kind of use this a little bit, and I don't like to. Sometimes people don't come to God till they're 60. Well, what have they been doing the 60 years, okay? And according to this, if you're in sin and you're doing everything that hurts your body, many times you will reap what you sow. Doesn't mean that God still can't heal you. It just means your 60 years of doing your own thing, and now
God's made a way for us to come in, and we've been more disobedient than obedient, so there are going to be a certain things that, you know, kind of come upon us. But he still heals us and deliver us, and what a promise for eternity life after death, after the physical death. And by the way, us Christians are not going to feel the sting of death. That is according to the Word of God. We will not. We will not feel that sting. We may look like we're feeling it. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? We may look like, oh, but we are not to feel that sting of Satan, that death as we go on over. So, okay. So now we're on question two. So if Christ destroyed the works of Satan, the devil, why do they still exist? So we know sometimes a few of you can get in on this if you'd like. God has called who? He's called all men. That's right. He's called all. He didn't call sinners and Christians. He's called all. What was that?
The Bible says that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. It doesn't tell us that he destroyed the devil.
Whoa, good point.
He destroyed the works of the devil.
Excellent.
At the time that we received salvation and took Christ on, that's when Satan, his works were destroyed in our lives as Christians.
That's right. Praise
God. Because of his free will, there's always going to be good and evil.
That's right. Simply
and
because God wants us to choose him. He wants
right,
us to choose
it's
him.
Our choice, right. It's our choice to go his way or go the highway. But, I know. But
thank you, Lord.
Yeah, so he did that. He didn't destroy Satan. He destroyed his works in our lives.
Praise God. Praise God.
I want to add to that, Mom.
Woo.
Thank
okay.
you, Lord.
Thank you. Okay, Heather, you've got something to add? Okay.
Yeah, because when I was doing the first couple of questions, when I was reading through the scriptures, the fulfillment of the prophecy was the seed. There was a promise that the Redeemer would come back through the seed, through woman's seed. And so when he destroyed the works of Satan, he couldn't destroy Satan himself because we still have to continue our life here on earth, whether we're Christians or not. And if he destroyed Satan, then basically we would have, there would be no warfare and there would be no free will. And so
actually what the promise is in the first question. When it says,
yes.
What is the first prophecy in the Bible? Yes, it's the enmity and the war between his seed and her seed. But the promise is of a Savior. It's what the
Praise
promise
God.
Is. But that promise really is not reflected until we have actually learned about Christ.
Amen.
That's when we learn. It's later on in the Bible because it doesn't come right out and say that that's the promise.
Praise God.
But
so
as
we know
you
that
grow
then,
in the Word.
That's right.
Right. So as you grow in the Word, you get to know that that is the first promise from that prophecy.
Praise God. So we know that sin was from the beginning. In other words,
correct.
Not in the garden. We know that it was from heaven. And we know that God kicked Satan out. That's scripture. He kicked him out to Rome, wherever people would welcome him. In other words, yes, I will do what you want me to do. I've often said this. A lot of people serve Satan just like we serve God. They don't realize they're serving Satan. They're just serving him like we do. We just go serving God and knowing that God is there, our faith in him. We know that when we ask, we're going to be delivered. We know that when we pray for people, if their faith, there's going to be a healing. We don't doubt it. We don't say, oh, I wonder why so-and-so didn't get their healing, right? We pray, we believe, we stand.
to stand. So he was kicked out of heaven, Satan, and his, what was it, one-third unholy angels. You know, Satan held a high position there. So is there anything else that anyone else wants to say?
Well, the one that follows. The one
Pardon
that
me?
Follows. It's me,
okay.
Your sister. The one that follows Satan out of heaven is that they were the ones that sang the music. They were mainly
the
ones,
right.
You know. And
I want,
can you imagine that? When we praise God and we sing to God, can you imagine how wonderful that feels to do that for him, to show Satan that he does not have what he thinks he has?
Someone else was going to say something?
No, I was just going to elaborate back on the question of, if Christ destroyed the works of the devil, why do they yet exist? And my thought process was that even though we've received salvation, we know that many Christians, even myself included, we're not supposed to, but we get busy with life and we fall back and forth. Out of the word, into the word, out of the word. And God doesn't like God doesn't like a lukewarm Christian. We know that. He doesn't like someone that teeter-totters. But we've all been guilty of doing it to some extent.
That's right.
So
that's right.
If he were to destroy the works, he destroyed the works of the devil, but they still exist, because I believe that those are the things that also allow us to be kept in check. And so if we are walking with Christ and we've received salvation, and like for me, if I get off track too much, you know, it doesn't get easier for me. It gets harder for me. I've heard people say, well, when you're walking
That's
with Christ,
word.
It's harder. It doesn't. For me, when I walk away from Christ or I'm not walking with him as closely as I should, it becomes easier to become more un-Christ-like, because my spirit is not being fed and my spirit is not growing. The way that you grow in Christ is growing in spirit. And if we don't have life events, like for me, I know many people have even said, you know, well, Mom, you and I have talked about this, and I don't want to get into a big discussion about it, but losing Scott in the car accident, it was very hard for me to understand how my Christian husband could be lost in a car accident. But I couldn't sit there and figure it all out, because I don't have the answers to that. I do know, though, that out of that, magnificent things happened. And it drew me even closer to Christ. And death is of Satan. It's not of God. So, you know, he was taken out, and it devastated me. But it also drew me nearer to him, and it helped my spirit grow, because I had nothing else to hold on to except him when I was in the midst of being alone and feeling devastated. So I feel like, from the perspective of why Satan still allowed, the earth is his home. This is Satan's home.
The
and
world.
So
yeah.
If we didn't still have Satan here, we would have no reason. God promises there's still people that need to be saved. There would be nothing to be saved
That's
from.
Right.
So
right.
That, you know, he, go ahead, Linda.
No, that's just exactly. He doesn't have the future promised to him that we have promised to us.
Praise
right.
God.
His only future is what we allow him to have while he's here on earth.
And he only knows where he wallowed with you in sin. He doesn't know the very next choice that you make. I've got the paper in my hand. And unless I tell you I'm going to lay it down, Satan has no concept of that. He only knows where he wallowed with me. And that is why he uses the past on a continuous basis to people. Oh, remember when? Oh, yes. So that is one of his biggest, greatest lies to mankind. Remember when you did this? He'll bring it back, a movie or something that you have witness or a little something, anything, whatever that your problems were, he, whatever your loss was, he will bring it to you. And but see, we have the power and the authority to say,
yes.
No, I've been there. I'm not going again. I can look to the future because I'm getting ready now. I'm going to lay this paper down and I just thumped Satan's head and bruised it. So, yes, we are learning and God is a good God and he doesn't want us to wallow. He wants us to go on because, again, it's the same. God trusts that we're going to make our next move for him and that we're going to pray. Okay, the next question is, what did Jesus mean when he said it is finished? Now, in this is a broad three words. In the Greek, it's tetelestai, T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-I. That's what it meant. It is finished. So the prophecy from the Father had been fulfilled. The cross is death. To seek and save. Now, we have to get this good here. Jesus came to do the will of the Father that sent him. Not Jesus' will, but the Father's will. He was constantly speaking this. That tells me that Jesus didn't have a whole lot. He still had to give up his life. But he came to do the will of the Father that sent him. So this is sometimes how I explain sin. Like I said, when we sin, there's no excuse. If we sin, we know what sin is to them, James, to them that know to do good and does not, to them it is called what?
Sin.
Sin. So they are not talking about the people that don't know there. Right?
Right.
If I'm in sin and I haven't been taught, wouldn't that make me, I mean, we do have a measure of faith, but he's talking there to them, us, that know to do good and does not do it, then to them it is sin. So if or when, you know, we fall or we break our relationship with God, God cannot look upon sin. We have to go back to Calvary to atone to Jesus for our sins. So when you go back to Calvary, trust me, I've been back so many times and it isn't pleasant. And you can't just say, oh, forgive me, Jesus, I'm sorry. I mean, we don't know, we know God. We know Jesus. We know he doesn't roll that way. Now, in a bad word, some people haven't gotten over, you know, little sister Carla, I can still remember when she would get mad at people on the road and use a little bit of choice words. And she started putting in good words and she beat that. She beat that. See, the more you get in, the more you study, the more your anxiety leaves, the more your happiness comes about you, the more you don't worry about trivial things. You just start operating and then we have a direct line back to the Father simply because God sent Jesus to die for us. You know,
well, Lee, it's like when we teach our kids, so we teach our kids about forgiveness and telling people that they're sorry. If we're asking the Father to forgive us and we're just saying, Father, forgive me, so sorry. When I teach my kids to tell each other they're sorry or to tell someone else that they're sorry and ask for forgiveness, they get in trouble if they go up and say, sorry. Or
that's right.
Forgive me with an attitude. If you want someone to forgive you, it needs to be genuine. And how more do we need to carry that over to the giver of our life, to the Father,
God,
than a
praise
genuine
God.
Acting
you,
of forgiveness and to firmly
thank you, God. Thank you, God. With humility. I don't really even like to use a humility, Sister Liz, but with humbleness, a type of humbleness goes a long
but I think
way.
But I think that comes with growth in the spirit. Going back to, I mean, that, I think that that's a loaded question, and I think there's multiple things that it means. When I was doing some research on it, and I was pulling up scriptures on it. It was talking about that the debt owed by man to his creator on account of Adam's sin was finally and forever dealt with. And, you know, it's funny because if you listen to people in the world that are not grounded in the Word of God, people that pray or go to church think they're a Christian. It doesn't necessarily mean they're a Christian. And the only way you can be humble and apologize, I mean, even for myself, those of you that know me, I know a couple of you are going to laugh, I got a little spicy personality. And, boy, when I get fired up about something, and I've come a long way, it's hard for me and I'll be the first person to say I'm sorry and mean it. But that's because the Spirit has grown in me, and the Spirit works with me and deals with me so that when I do say I'm sorry, I'm being genuine, and it's coming from humility. Not everybody has that. And, Mom, you used to make me say sorry all the time, and I never meant it because you made me say it. You say you're sorry right now, and I'd be like, okay, I'll say it, but I don't mean it right now. But,
sometimes when I whipped your little butt, you cried and you would say you're sorry after I whipped you.
Just because you made me, only because you made me. But anyways, going back to it is finished. You know, when he was on the cross, those were what? I think was those the last words that he said right before he died, right? It is finished.
Yeah, it is finished.
And he was talking about him doing his father's will. Him, you know, taking all of those sins on.
He was talking directly to God. Yes, yes, he was.
Yeah, yeah, he was talking directly to God. But you're right, going back to what you said, it is finished is referencing Christians, people that are Christians.
It means paid in full.
Right.
Because is an accounting word, and it means paid in full.
You don't owe him anything else now, Heather, is what
that's
he's
right.
saying there.
True.
That we don't owe. The debt has been paid once and for all. See,
it has, but I think that we need to make sure that people understand, not necessarily in this group, but I know when I talk to people do not understand that you when you sin, you have to go back and you have to confess daily. Daily.
Yeah.
Daily. And the more you walk with Christ, and the closer you get to him and the more you get in the Word, the stronger your spirit grows and the easier it is to become more Christ-like with less sin, with less temptation, with less impulsive reaction, with less impulsive conversation. It becomes easier to hold your tongue. It becomes easier to pray for those that spitefully use you.
That's right.
The criteria. That is the criteria for it is finished.
Amen. Christ-like. Praise God.
Yeah. See, we got a lot of teachers in this class.
Yes, we
do.
Well, we're listen, we can go back over this. I never learn enough. I'm sorry.
You're going to regret asking me to come in this because I get real deep in stuff.
Well, listen, we need you and all the younger people because, listen, Sister Linda and I, we're trying to get it across to the younger ones so that when our work, our teaching is finished, we will have a legacy to leave behind that we breathe God's words from his mouth to our mouth to your mouth. And he will minister and he will bless all of you, my grandchildren, her children. That's his promise. Thank you, God. Okay. Number four, what exactly is the Bible referring to when it said that God is not a respecter? Okay, let's go into Acts 10, 34. I'll wait if you guys would like to go there. See, we call the cross everything. That cross is everything. So all that are in God can have a part of that cross. And Peter said, if someone has that, they can read it.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons."
So you know what that tells me? That tells me that in every nationality and every race, every color, anywhere, we have now the Jew blood. They're no longer the favorites.
Right.
Our blood bleeds the same as they do.
God doesn't care whether you're Jew or Gentile, rich or poor. We're all on the same footing now.
That's right. But in every nation, that's right. So in every nation, not just here in America, every nation, he that feareth him, now fear here is not, I'm afraid God's going to zap me.
No.
Fear is considered respect.
Respect. Now, yep.
That's right. He that respects me and my word and my law and you doing the right thing, living right, living holy, respect, and worketh righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is holiness, but what's the definition of the Greek?
Right relationship with God.
That's right. Right standing. In other words, when God doesn't do what we ask him to do, we have a right to go back to him and say, wait a minute, God, you told me in your word. See, we can talk to God just like Sister Linda and I, Heather, and whoever's in here. We have a right. This makes us, how do I want to say it? There's a word that I'm looking for. We have the authority. We can go to him and say, I have did everything that you have told me to do. I pray for those that despitefully use me. I prayed for the ones that are hounding me, the ones that are abusing me. And why aren't you coming on the scene? Now, God will show you what to do. You may be lacking in an area because, again, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. It takes two to tangle, two to sit down and talk, two or three or four together, and lay hands on that person and pray for them if so they be willing. The job gets done. The job gets done one way or the other when it's handled appropriately. But it has to be handled appropriately. So now, does everybody, if anybody wants to comment or ask a question, I can explain it to you because, see, this is a simple lesson. Once I found out that God doesn't get the fault blame for anything, I can always direct it. What's missing in our lives? What are we doing wrong? Do we go to church just on Sunday and expect miracles all week? Do we pray every day? Or do we pray every other day? Or do we pray on Wednesday night and on Sunday night before? Or do we even pray? So, this is how God bases his top 10 principles here that you guys are all, we're all going to get delivered of this. On these 10 principles, because remember, God has created us with very much the same principles, joy, peace, laughter. We get angry. We get upset. But we are how do we overcome these obstacles? How do we overcome? How do we get back our joy in our life? How do we keep continuous joy? How do we continue to keep continuous peace? How? What's the ingredient? What's the criteria for, hey, I can't give you my peace. Brother Bobby can't give you his joy. Oh, he can make us laugh. But when you leave the presence of his ministry, do you keep that joy? Or do you then have to work on your joy, your faith? How is it possible?
You're always working on your own faith, your own joy.
Well, why? Because God bases his how does he base it, Linda? He bases man's faith on his individual faith.
Each individual.
Not someone else.
Right.
Individual.
Not my faith.
Not
right.
my
not
faith.
Not my faith. Not her faith.
No. He, that's how he bases.
Each individual.
See, now I'm going to, that's right. I'm going to tell you, one of Satan's greatest tactics to hurt me, which he can't any longer, and I don't know, it might have been a type of brainwashing when I was younger. Not from my parents. It could have been, I don't know. I don't know where it came from. But for some reason, he comes to me and tells me, I wonder if my grandfather made it into heaven. I may have some good excuses as to why I would think that. Okay, now, he comes to me about others that I have loved and cared for. Do you think they made it? So let me just clarify how God delivered me of this. Edna Lee Masterant, you are to worry and act upon your faith and not to worry, because everyone has had the same opportunity. He has given each and every one of us, how is it that you say it, Pastor Bobby? The measure of faith. Now, see, we don't know if the measure is small. I would assume if you're an infant and you've been created with a measure of faith, that it has to grow as your knowledge grows, as you operate in faith. Now, that's how I'm going to say. So he does speak about, what is it, a mustard seed, right? He said, you know, if you have this faith of a mustard seed, you know, well, there's a lot more that goes to that, and I don't like to take scripture out of context. We're talking about how God bases what happens to man here in these ten principles that he's using. So with that, I had to learn to rebuke Satan. I know that doesn't sound, but again, you guys got to remember, when Satan tries to take you to the past, generally speaking, not all the time, but when he takes you to the past, he's going to bring out something that is horrible and sad and not good.
And when he does you just remind him of his future.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but generally, now, if he can bring me back to all the happy times, which I believe that God does that, I don't believe Satan brings us to, you know, I believe that God brings us about when you see your mother laughing, when you see your father loving you, hugging you, whatever that was good. Okay, I'll buy that. I will not buy him taking me back to the past or make me sad for the day or, you know, to grieve.
Okay, I want to get back to the respecter of persons real quick.
Okay, all right.
We were saying that everybody has an equal opportunity to have fellowship with him.
That's
but
right.
Also with that comes the criteria that you still have to fear and respect him to have that relationship with him. So when you walk out of fellowship with him, you no longer are able to have that relationship with him.
That's
so
right.
Even though he's not a respecter of persons, it's not a free-for-all that anybody and their brother can just go to him if they don't understand that with that relationship comes a responsibility of humility and obedience.
That's right.
And asking
That's right.
for forgiveness if you sin.
That's right. God's word is simple. It's just simple. Man complicates it.
This
one. Come on, Pastor Bobby.
Oh, going along, we're just talking about what Heather just said. Say it, Pastor Bobby.
Oh, you can say it. Go ahead.
Well, we were just talking about how some people use God like a magic wand. Heather, when you said it, just triggered our memory. Especially now, it seems at least the people that are calling us and texting us, not people from our local church, but friends and extended family. This is about a breaking point with people, and I don't know if you guys have noticed. I'm talking about this, you know, this quarantine,
right.
And people are starting to have a lot of mental issues. But you can't pull God out of your back pocket. How they're like, when you're out of
That's
relationship
right.
with God, you can't say, well, where is God now? And I'm praying. And I heard somebody say, I'm praying for the scientists to find a cure for this vaccine. Okay, my question to this person was, how is your soul with the Lord? That's great you're praying for that. But you can't pull a magic wand out and say, God, I need you now to make everything right. And if you do, God, I'm going to serve you. That is not the kind of God we serve. And the respecter of persons. Yeah, so when you're saying God is no respecter of persons, God is not a lottery God.
There's only one prayer he receives from a sinner, and that's the sinner's prayer.
Right. Yeah, I would not serve a God that he may heal Heather and heal Heather's broken heart. But when I have a broken heart, he doesn't feel, that's not the kind of God we serve. But there is criteria. There's things you have to do. We've got to walk daily with him. I spoke with someone recently who's having a lot of questions about everything going on. And I said, I'm going to ask you something right now, and you may not like it. Have you been back to the cross? If you're seeing all this destruction around you, what is going on in your life? We don't like that. That doesn't feel good when somebody says, whoa, wait a second. Because you're getting blessed. Okay, God, why are you blessing this person, but you're not blessing me? I think several people said it. You have to go back to Calvary. Go back and say, God, it's not happening for me. Show me. But you got to be willing for that pain to say, well, and for the Lord to speak to you. Well, Rita, have you communicated with me lately or just when you need something? Did you tell me this morning, good morning, Lord?
Praise God.
We've got to do that. We can't serve a God that we put in our back pocket. When there's a crisis, we pull him out. He doesn't work that way.
No. He's our creator. He's our one. He created every intricate part of our body, and he wants that relationship. He wants us. So I knew a lady that would get up every day and say, thank you, God, I'm here another day. You gave me another day. I don't know if she ever went to church, but I know she prayed because she would tell me as I would be doing her hair. And I just didn't question her, but it appeared that she had blessings. You know, I was younger and I didn't, you know, question it. But so I guess my thing is if you're not asking God to do something for you, then just thank him for what he, for the simple things.
Right.
Well, I think the oh, go ahead, sorry. I don't know who I interrupted.
No, you're okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I think the getting back to the questions that we're talking about, it's important to go into the depth of these questions to understand that, even going back to what Rita said, I have a couple friends that I have had opportunities to speak to over the past couple of weeks, but it's been very difficult because they're not, I can tell you right now that they're probably not saved, and a lot of people do pull God out of their back pocket when they're in a time of crisis or they're scared or something's going on. But they don't understand that even though it's free, I don't know the right word. I can't come off with it right now that I'm trying to come up with. But there is, even though everything is free from God, there is a requirement to that. So there's a cost to it. It's free, but there's a cost, I guess, is what I'm trying
to
say.
It's available. It's available. There is nothing free that you don't work for. Nothing.
Because if he didn't have criteria on everything that he gave to us,
right.
And even though it is
right.
easy, and even though it is free, there is a cost with it. And you have to be able to abide by the criteria and the rules that he has laid forward for us, as well as what the Holy Spirit reveals to us as we grow in spirit. And I think the key component missing in many people's lives, especially with this specific God is no respecters of person, so many people take the Bible out of context. They read it literally. And so my struggle, just like what Rita was talking about, was when these people are talking to me about stuff, you know, it's hard for me to talk to them. I do, and I've had the opportunity, but it's hard for me to talk to them because I'm not talking to someone who has the Spirit of Christ residing in them because they went to the cross and received salvation. So it's hard for them to interpret what I'm saying and understand what I'm saying. And so my biggest struggle is that, yes, he is not a respecter of person, but like Rita said, you can't just pull a magic wand out of your pocket and say, you know what, today I'm going to use God and just pray for a scientist to come up with a cure. I mean, there's just so much more to it than that.
And
it's insulting to God. It really is insulting to God.
Well, he just can't answer.
Could I say something about that?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. We know that our Heavenly Father loves us. And I have often been in a situation like you're speaking about, Heather. And I've held my tongue and I've not said anything because I was afraid that how it would be received. So I put myself how I was feeling about them and not realizing that the way that I was feeling about it, I wasn't capable of getting it done because I was doubting myself to ask them or to talk to them. The enemy will put that in front of you and make you feel inadequate to do what you want to do, knowing if you postpone that, knowing if you let that go or leave that alone. He has the opportunity. So I think in your mind that if we say, Lord, I'm going to let you lead me. You know what it is. You know, Lord, that I want them saved and you want them saved. I'm going to
you want their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you have to let him lead you because it cannot, that spirit, the Holy Spirit, has got to draw them to you. They'll become interested in you. They'll start to watch how you live. They'll listen to your words that you use. They'll watch what you do. And what you're concerned with is that you need to serve God the best that you know how to serve. Live for him. And testify in a way, slowly, but let it be God that leads you to do it. Nothing else. Do not let the devil put fear in you, because that's his job.
Okay, so now we'll go on with, I think it's 717. I don't even know how
yes.
many. Oh, my gosh. So, well, what we'll do is our next question next week, we will start with how is God rewarding and punishing men? I will go into the rewarding first. I'm not going to do reward. I will take and operate off of the question, how is God rewarding first, and then I will show you how the punishment starts, you know, before the cross and how God is, why God allows things to happen the way they are, because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense if he's a rewarder and he's a punisher, but he is. This number five is a very, it's an in-depth, you know, and I may need all of you guys, so every one of you be ready to study, because God likes it. God loves it that we are studying. And that we're digging into the truth. And the reason he loved it is so that when we get it, we can pass it on. It's not a selfish thing here, God's top 10 principles. They're for us, as I said, for us and for us to share to those that want to hear. You can't make, you know, it's a pretty deep one. How is God rewarding and punishing? I don't know who's still there. We got carried away.
I'm here. I'm here.
Is there anyone that needs prayer request? Prayer for anyone?
I have a praise report.
Okay.
So this is Sister Carla. I want to say thank you to everybody because God is so good. Lenny's father was able to be released from the hospital yesterday.
Thank God.
He is
wonderful.
Still recovering. He's still on some oxygen, but his fever broke and didn't return for a couple of days.
Thank you, Lord.
And he sit in the hospital.
Thank
so
God.
I thank the Lord for moving mightily in that situation.
Praise
thank
God.
You. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that's so good.
Carla,
yes.
That's a wonderful praise
yes.
report. Lenny,
yes,
Dad, did you say that he will come home or he is home? Or
He came home last night. Yep, he
praise
came home
God.
Yesterday.
Thank you, God.
Well,
thank
he was
you,
only
God.
In the cold week, and I thank the Lord for that. And
that's
my
right.
prayer request now is, and I don't know how many people saw it on Facebook Sunday, but Linda Drugalis is the grandmother to Lenny's son. And little Lenny's mom does have coronavirus. She tested positive. She's not overly sick to where she needs hospitalization. She's still at home, but they have three children and three additional adults in that house. So God's proven himself on my father-in-law, and now we're claiming that same healing.
Praise God. Okay. And we agree with you, Carla. We agree with you.
We agree with you.
Her name is Kate.
Yes, her name is Kate. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
Father. Is there anyone else?
Pray for Jim. He cut his finger really bad today out in the garage. He had to take him to the hospital. They were able to sew it up. He was afraid at first some kind of surgery would have to be done, but he goes back next week to have it checked out. But it was a pretty bad cut.
Okay. I would also like for us to remember Heather's two friends. I think she has two. Listen, we've all got something from this tonight. And God is an amazing God, and he is a healer.
Yes.
And I would like for Heather to call out their two names, that as Carol said, and listen, prayer changes things. Listen, guys, if someone hadn't prayed for me, I don't know where I would be today. Now, I did desire, but I had a lot of opportunities, and I thank God for that, because when I did fail him, and we all do, I was able to get back to him immediately, and I praise God for that. I thank him for that. So Heather has a desire for, she's making a good example, and if there's anyone else that they need their coworkers to be prayed for, let's hear it now. Let's, call out their name.
Well,
we're just
I don't know if anyone remembers, like, at the beginning of the school year, that was my prayer. Like, I really got close with this group of girls from work. We all work together closely. There's a group of five of us. And I just asked that God would help me to be a light to them and all that. And the weirdest thing is sometimes, you know, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we don't have to be with those people every day. You know, I haven't been working since March 13th. And my two of my coworkers have been watching our services and our live streams, and they just told me, you know, you guys need to keep doing what you're doing. They're like, you know, it helped us, and, you know, it's helping us. We know it's helping other people. And it's not about us. It's about God. But, you know, I just pray that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Okay. While we're on that, I also want Pastor Bobby, never ask for prayer. And Sister Rita never asked for prayer. And listen, you know, they work, and I know they don't need praises, and Liz, and they're singing, and I know we don't have to praise anybody, but it's nice that if you, once in a while, just send a text to him and say, I'm praying for you. You listen, to Sister Rita, I just want you to know I believe in you, in what you're doing in the church, and that we're upholding, and without the church, we wouldn't have that opportunity. They work hard for Brother Preston and Liz and Dustin. They need to be uplifted, guys, and make them financially, spiritually, and in every area, because they are still continuing to keep that church going. And I know that we can help them. We can help them in any way. So if there's an opportunity, you know, let's just bear with that and send them little thank yous. We love you. And pray for them. They need the prayers. Listen, tonight I got a little bit nervous. And listen, let me show you how God works. Rita said, are you ready to teach? And I said, yes. And then I called her and I said, is everything good? Did you get the number one? And she goes, well, we just want to pray for you. And I was going to ask them to pray for me. And look what God has done tonight. I feel this. Seriously, I feel like that every one of us has been manifested in the Word and grounded here tonight. And I feel that we want to search more. And what else do we have but time on our hands? That's all we have is time now. For those that aren't working and for those that are working, we'll pray for your strength. We will pray for your strength and to go on. So anyway, let's just pray.
I have a prayer.
Friends. Oh, okay. I was waiting.
I'm sorry.
Would you please pray for my family tonight?
For Kelly and Dayton. Okay.
And I'm doing really well. And I thank God for that.
Thank you, God. Yes, you are.
All together here. And if I didn't have this to listen to and the Christian stations on the television, I really enjoyed the teaching tonight.
Thank you, God.
I came in real early to get here. I'll make sure I got in on time.
Thank
so
you,
it's been a good lesson. And
praise God.
Yeah.
And I love him so much.
Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There was someone else?
Yeah, I have a prayer request. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Rivergate Terrace. That was like a third home to me because of my mom and because Linda was there. 20 people have died already. That coronavirus is going through Rivergate Terrace like hot potato. We need to pray for those people, the nurses, everybody there. Mm-hmm. They need prayer because it's got to stop.
Okay.
So that's my prayer request.
All right. Is there anybody else? Okay. We'll just all pray together and for those of you that wrote it down, okay, and those that didn't, we'll just go off of our mind. I'd like to think that I can remember everything. Right now, God, we come to you. We thank you for the lesson. We thank you for the participation, God. We thank you, God, that we all got something from this, Lord. And God, I call out right now for Regina's request. God, you support that in that nursing home. You have the power. We pray that you have the power to stop it from spreading any longer. We claim that, God. And for Heather's two friends, that is specifically that she has a desire and a passion for them to know you in a simple way as they live in their lives. Let her be able to use just simple truths as she works with them, God. And for Cheryl, her family, God, has taken power and authority over. They need to get their family all in one unity, God. And I believe that's what she's asking for. And I claim this victory tonight, God. Thank you, man. And we worship you in spirit and in truth. God bless Sister Peggy. Oh, my God, I forgot his name, Peggy.
Jim.
Oh, Jim.
Brother Jim. God, take care of that. I don't know how he is, how his soul is, as for how his health is, I should say. I know about Brother Jim's soul. But right now, God, I ask that you heal that finger and heal it right up, God. We know that there's power in you, power in the blood, power for all of your healing. And we will never, ever not praise you for it. And we will not doubt you for it. And if these prayers tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, and thank you, Lord. I'm not going to apologize that we went over because it was good. It was good to be in the house.
Yes, wonderful. Yes.
It was very good.
Very good.
Okay, all right. And next week we want to hear from others. That's right. And next week we want to hear from others. We want to know who's there on that phone. We want to know how you feel. Listen. There are so many times when we ask for prayer, we don't tell what was going on because we're ashamed. Well, we can testify that tonight that Heather wasn't afraid to say. and we all that we're guilty, that we've been guilty of things and not ashamed.
Are you making fun of me?
Okay, God bless, and we'll join here next week. And don't forget what Brother Preston said, guys, okay? You know how to go now.
And a quick plug, we had 32 phone phone call, well, 32 callers on today. I'm sorry.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
You guys can share this phone number.
Wow.
And you
who don't I have?
You can share the phone number, and you can share the conference ID. That's the 995-995. And if people want to call in and they don't want to say anything, they can just mute themselves and just listen. They're more than welcome to.
Praise God.
Thank
you,
God.
Yes.
This is
wonderful.
Hey, Preston. Thank God for technology, huh? And that we got someone that knows how to use it.
Yes.
Yep. And only issue is because we are recording these, information for you. There is a little bit of background noise coming through, and if you aren't muting yourself, we just ask that you do that in between conversations. And if not, I can do it on my end, but just to let you guys know, other than that, it's going pretty smoothly.
So, hit the mute button when we're, wait,
everybody who's calling in from a cell phone has a mute button. It's a microphone.
Yeah.
And there's a line to it. So when you're not speaking, it would really help all of us listening to mute that unless you're talking. Because we can hear, it sounds like somebody has a TV on in the background. So that comes through. It's a little distracting. You
and
may
then,
not know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Molly had to put her word in today.
If you put your phone down on a table and you put it on speaker and you don't mute it, it's kind of echoing back, so it just kind of messes with the recording that way.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds real good.
That was my plug.
We got it. Thank you for that, Preston, because we want to all be heard. We want to know and hear from each other. We want to, for sure. We don't want any distractions. Okay, God bless everyone, and we'll talk to you
later.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
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 Linda, I'll call you.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Joy. Bye-bye.